Someday God will be known just where and when. The will of the Lord shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, as we come to you in this difficult time, Father, Lord of the world. And here for us, not like in many other countries like America and Canada perhaps, and even India, where the people could gather physically, here we are kind of a little bit restricted. And we go on live streaming. But as we do, Lord, and even as your people could gather together one way or another to cyberspace, if it's necessary, as we are doing now, may your grace be with every one of us, Father, in every home, in every place, as they come together and join us, Lord, in fellowship and worship and to hear your word. Asking you, Father, right now, that as you approach thy holy word, Lord, may you open, Father, our understanding to your word, to the revelation for the hour, to your plan and the purpose for us in this present hour, Lord. And as you open up to us, O Father, thy word, may we embrace it, Father, wholeheartedly with our soul, spirit, O Father, and body and mind, love you with all of it as well. Lord, because when we love your word, Father, we know we love you because thy word is you, Lord, because you reveal yourself to us. And that's what makes us, O Lord, the awareness that we are somebody special to you, Lord, and the family of God, and may each and every one be like King David, Lord, apple of your eye. Father, Lord, we pray now that you guide us, Lord, and into thy word we pray, it is in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And now, last week, I ended up with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but I want just to bring this something up at this moment, the vision that I had in May 2020. Alright, now look at this vision again. Just to let you recall, just take an image of that. Now, back in the year 2020, when I preached on that message with the winds are blowing, and then I showed this message and explained what I saw in the dream. Now, when I look at this image or this vision, and knowing what happened right now, 2 years, well, almost 2 years later, all right, 2020, 2021, 2022, how many years? Oh, yeah, almost 2 years now. And seeing the event that took place in Europe, in the dream that I have, I saw this angel, these messengers of men that were looking at into the light. They were just simply, they were kind of looking and waiting for something. And that's why I was so excited about this vision, because the men, they are looking into something, just standing there looking into the light of the cloud that comes up from the cloud. And then this eagle, they appear, and then after that, as it, you know, move away, fade slowly away, behind it came forth the brown bear. And as the light gets brighter and brighter, you know, it sort of fade away everything, and I woke up. Now, and by looking at this vision, I'm understanding for the hour that we right now live in. Because back two years ago, there was all these talks about between China and America and a trade issue and all this. And of course, America wanted to control everything in the world, militarily, you know, financially, religiously, and politically, whatever. But then, this last few months back, there has been all this problem with NATO, and EU, with Russia, America saying all kinds of things and so on. So finally, you know, Putin can no longer take it anymore because, you know, he comes to the straw, to the last straw that breaks the camel's back. So to say, anyway, he took up arms to invade Ukraine. And so the headline is always that Russia invade Ukraine, Russia is the bad guy, I said over this thing. Now, because of what we are seeing now, there have been a lot of talk and discussion. Now, we are looking at this message. Be prepared for what is coming. What is coming? Oh, the rapture is coming. Oh, no, no, we are not going through a rapture. We have to go through a great tribulation. Then we have to go through a great tribulation. Then we see the rapture come before God pours up the wrath. So that's what we are preparing for it. So what are you preparing? I'm preparing for the rapture. So, okay, you're not the other side where you prepare for the coming tribulation, right? Okay, all right, good. You're preparing for the rapture. But how do you prepare for the rapture? We prepare for what is coming. And what is coming? The whole lot of things that is coming. I didn't say be prepared for the rapture. Be prepared for what are coming. No, no, what is coming. Because we have things that, because what is coming is pertaining to a lot of, you know, event that must take place before you get the rapture. So if you do not know what is coming, then how do you prepare? So for example, when I put a title like this and, you know, okay, I'm preparing for the rapture. Cool. That is what is coming. But the question, how do you prepare? Because back in the days of John, when God sent, I mean, days of Jesus Christ, when God sent John the Baptist, and he was preparing the way of the Lord, right? But how many people recognize that? How many people recognize that? Even they recognize him, okay, so what else? Many were baptized by John. But when John proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world," how many of them recognized that message? Do you understand what I'm saying? You may recognize John and that's it. I mean, they may recognize John and got baptized and that's it. Nothing else. Do you see the importance? Because it's a step by step by step thing. You go to school, you know, you have nursery, then kindergarten, and then the primary school, then the secondary school, and the high school, and the college, and university, to get whatever you want to go. Prepare for what you want to be. Huh? So, in this vision that I have, now we are looking at what's going on right now. Okay, America, and the boy you go, and then you have the brown band. Okay, and every time you see in the paper, huh? You always say America against Russia. America against Russia. You know what I mean? Hey, it's not practically NATO against Russia. It's America and Russia. America and Russia. Because America is the one that is leading the whole thing. You know, and NATO and EU depend on America to back them up. And many other countries to back them up. And that is the issue. So what we're seeing in this vision. So quite a question right now is on, you know, brothers are, you know, when they are asking me questions, Facebook and WhatsApp, and some send me forum discussion of what is happening right now in Europe. So they are asking, is Ezekiel 38, 39 coming to pass? And some will say, World War III, the Third World War has begun. You know. But is that World War III? Or is that the beginning of World War III? Or when you say World War III, would China be involved? Would India be involved? Would North Korea be involved? Huh? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, when we talk about World War, it's only usually a certain section of the world. Like the First World War. Then the Second World War, we have, of course, on this side, where Japan went into war, joined the war. Huh? And of course, When people are looking into the Bible prophecy, and everyone knows, many of our Christians know about Ezekiel 38:39. And we know what is happening now, sooner or later it's going to trigger. Now, Isaiah chapter 17. How many of you know about Isaiah? Now, I'll bring you out this way because we're talking about what is coming. Be prepared for what is coming. Isaiah chapter 17. You know Isaiah chapter 17 regarding the ruin of Damascus. Chapter 17 verse 1. The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Now, the one thing about it is that it has been in this, 30 years that people are looking into prophecy of what is going to happen to this war, what is going to happen in Europe, and Russia, Israel, Syria. And of course, when they look at this chapter 17, they say, yes, Damascus must become a ruin before, Christ comes. Now, this chapter this verse, was it fulfilled? Has it been fulfilled? Of course, many of us say, well, it's not been fulfilled. Yeah, in a way, and not in a way. Now, because Bible prophecy are very strange, so you can look into what, the timeline and so on. Now, to many, they're expecting Assad to die or be killed, represented by Ben-Hadad in the Old Testament, and then Damascus will be destroyed. But if you look into the timeline, the Old Testament, this prophecy actually happened. Okay? It's already happened. It's already happened in the year 732. But now, brother, again, Damascus is still here. Right. So when we look at the Bible say the city become a ruin, it doesn't mean that it will stay a ruin. You understand what I'm saying? But look at the prophecy of Tyre. That prophecy, Tyre, the seaport out there in Lebanon, never come up again. The Bible prophesied to that end. But a ruin is a different thing. A ruin people can rebuild. Okay, let us go to Micah. All right. Chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become a heap or ruined of a heap of ruin. Now the word heaps in King James is actually translated to be ruin. Okay? And the mountain of the house has the high places on the forest. So, was Jerusalem destroyed? Did Jerusalem become a ruin? Oh yes. In the past, the Babylonian came down, ravaged it, took all the gold and whatever is in the temple, the whole place has become a ruin. Right. But Jerusalem is still standing today. Beautiful. Tourists are there. Brother Jimmy and Jonathan have been there. They enjoy the beautiful place. They step on, I don't know whether they step into the River Jordan or not, just to feel the water. Yeah. Visit the tomb, the Sepulchre. But Jerusalem is still in stand. Okay, go to another one here in Jeremiah chapter 11. Chapter 9, sorry. Alright, chapter 9 verse 11. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and the den of dragon. And I will make the city of Judah desolate. without an inhabitant. So, actually, in the year 732, let me first try to figure that out, if I remember, Sennacherib from Assyria came down, but did not destroy. But in the year 524 is when the Babylon came down and destroyed. So here you can see, I'll make Jerusalem a ruin at the den of dragons. Actually, I think some versions translated Jacob. Is that right? Oh, yeah. You know, and I'll make the city of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Yeah, without. So that one was. And then, well, they rebuilt Jerusalem, didn't they? When they came back after Cyrus became, you know, controlled the whole of the empire. They conquered the whole empire, you know, and took over. And Cyrus then gave the decree. And they went down to build Jerusalem. And then that's when Jesus came. Right? But then in 70 AD, what happened to Jerusalem? Again, it became a ruin. So when we look at a prophecy like this, and everyone, more or less, we can say that in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, Damascus now is a nice, beautiful city. Would it be a ruin again? I believe that it will be again. So, people said, prophecy cannot, it only can happen once. And you must, according to some people, when they look at prophecy, that the prophecy must flow in a straight line. And once it's passed. But you know, Jerusalem was a ruin, right? How many times? Damascus has been a ruin, but it has been rebuilt. Would this prophecy of Isaiah 17, chapter 17, verse 1, be a repeat? And many times a prophecy has dwelt fulfillment. So, it won't be, not possible to say to some people, but I believe it will happen. And it might happen. How is Ezekiel 38:39 going to be fulfilled? How is Russia coming down, the Turkey is coming down? How is the king of the north going to come down to Israel? As prophesied in Ezekiel 38:39. God said he will use a hook to put them down. That means something is going to happen. And right now in Syria, you have Russian people are there. You know, the fighting is always going on there. The Hezbollah, the Hamas are also fighting. They are out there in Lebanon. So, something must happen, and it might be that, you know, Assad might be killed somehow. And even right now, it has been the news that they wanted to kill people. An order or something, what do you call that thing that is going? A decree or not a decree? Really, you know, somebody put out and say go and kill Putin. A price, yeah, put a price on his head. Oh, get him or kill him, assassinate him. You know, in the world that we live in, we've got all this problem, you know, it's not uncommon. Back in the First World, Second World War, there's always spies going on to kill, you know, the head of the country, the president, the prime minister, whatever. So, this has been going on, and we are living in a time where a lot of things, a lot of prophecies are crammed down. You understand? And we look at Daniel 70th week. Now, to those people who believe that prophecy must flow all the way and fulfill, and there's no break. Now, I believe that sometimes there are breaks, and sometimes a prophecy can have two fulfillment. Now, in Daniel chapter, in Daniel 70th week, chapter 9 of Daniel, And you know that the Bible said something weak are determined upon thy people. 70 times 7 is 490 years. And a lot of, there are churches of theologians and Bible believers believe that it has already been fulfilled. All of it. All the 490 years have been fulfilled. But of course, there are those that believe that there are only 2.5 years left. You know. And when we look at what the Bible said, is that a break? Now, look at Daniel then. We look at closely as to how the breaks are. Chapter 9. Now, verse 24. I want to show you how the break is. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish transgression, to fulfill an end of, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the visions and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Of all these sixfold purposes, only one was fulfilled, and that is to make reconciliation for iniquity. Okay? And he says here, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 72 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous time. So you have 7 weeks, 72 weeks. Break it up like that. So after 7 weeks, there are some events, they rock it up. And then you have another 72 weeks, and that's why you have the Samaritan giving a lot of problems. So there is this pause. Okay? And then we have in verse 26, and after 72 weeks, so you have 7, then 62. Okay, then he says that after this 62 period, the Messiah should be cut off. That's when Christ died. So Messiah is cut off, not for himself. Okay? And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy. Then referring to, of course, the Roman army that came down and destroyed the sanctuary and so on and so forth. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So there is only 1 week left. So now, to many, they don't believe that there is 1 week left. They don't believe there's 7 years left. Now, there are those in the end time message, they have taken what Brother Branham said, because in the question and answer session, people already got confused. Bob, said, oh, there's 2.5 year left. And that Jesus Christ preached for 2.5 years. You know. And therefore, there's only 2.5 years left. 2.5 years left. So, they believe that Christ will get the first 2.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, so there's 2.5 years left. So, of the rapture, there's only 2.5 years left. Now, if we were to take the 2.5 years left, you'll find that you will not be able to fit in all the event that is in Revelation. Okay? You understand? You cannot have the two witnesses preaching in Israel during the 2.5 years, right? To see the 144,000, and then the nation or the woman of Israel running to find a place to hide, and the earth swallowed them. So you have the two witnesses on the street, 144,000, trying, 144,000 trying to feed the woman. It's not possible. So they messed them up. Okay? So anyway, people, as I said, there is either we take the Bible or not. You know, and as you know, there are many in the end time message that put away the Bible, take what Brother Branham said only. And it is really, really very sad. They have thrown away the Bible practically. Alright. So now, we realize that there is this break. So, we cannot just say it's a flow. Now, Revelation chapter 1. Remember I mentioned this in Revelation chapter 1. What happened in Revelation chapter 1? Is this the whole book of Revelation? Is it already fulfilled? But to many, they say, yeah, I fulfilled too. You know, sometimes on the internet, you have all kinds of opinion out there. verse 1 of chapter 1, Revelation. Just let you recall. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. Now listen here, he says in verse 1. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Shortly come to pass. So in the day of John, when this vision was shown to him, shortly it come to pass. So how short is shortly? Shortly. How many years is shortly? They say it cannot be 2,000 years until now. Shortly come to pass, it must have been fulfilled within John's time. Or maybe just another 10, 20 years, or maybe 100 years down the road, but not stretching all the way to our days. You see how people look at that, the scriptures. No knowing about the expression. But I believe that only the Lord can reveal it to us. Alright now, let's continue and let's go. We have last week, I talked about the seventh seal. When it was opened, it was silent. And then we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Let us read that again. I want you to look at it very carefully again, that they are always the brink. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Got it? So there is a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Now, I want you to look at the seven church ages. I want to show something here. Alright? Now, if you look at the chart, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and about, we'll say, 20 years around that, that the church went into all this Antichrist spirit, Nicolaitan spirit, and so on. So that each begin, Ephesus as being the first. Now, do you remember the parable of the sower? How many remember the parable of the sower? Let's go to read the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. So, we are being prepared for what is coming. So let us look into what the Bible says. Now in chapter 13, there was this parable of the sower. Okay? How that Jesus Christ gave the parable and said the sower went forth to sow and so on. And then how that the seed fall upon certain kind of ground. Okay? Then in verse 10, now this is where we here is when Jesus Christ present the kingdom. Now the first parable you see in verse 1 to 9, and if you look carefully, there is no mention about the kingdom. Are you following what I'm saying? This is when Jesus went to sow. He sowed wheat. So grain, so seed. And he just talked about the kind of seed, I mean the place where the seed fell. For example, verse 4. Some seed fall by the wayside. The fowl came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony places. And then verse 7, some fell upon thorns. And then verse 8, some fell on good ground. So each of these places where the seed fell, it helped the seed whether to germinate well or not, or whether it got choked to death. So he talks about the kind of believers. They hear the word, some, you know, being, because the cares of the world, they fell away. They go back to the world. So those fall on the good ground, you bring from some much fruit. 100-fold, 70-fold, 60-fold, and so on. Okay. This is a parable he generally spoke. He spoke to the general public. Okay, to the multitude. He just mentioned that after that parable, and he then said, he that have a ear to hear, let him hear. But now, verse 10 begins this, and the disciple came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parable? So now, after having preached the sermon in parable form to the multitude, Jesus and the disciple went off. And it was when Jesus and the disciple were alone that the disciple asked him, why do you preach in parables? Why do you utter parables? And Jesus said, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, well, is that kind of fair? Huh. To the general public, to the people out there, the multitude. He just uttered a simple parable of the wheat. A sower, he being the sower. And he's sowing seed. And the people of the multitude are hearing. Okay, I know that. They did not know that Jesus was referring, you know, making this parable to show that he being the sower. And people say, yeah, I know about seed. When you seed fall upon what they call stony ground, what happened? Of course, there's not much earth. They just fade away after they grow a little while. And those fell upon the wayside, yep, the bird seed, and they take it away. Huh? And those are what the thorny places, yep, you'll grow up, but it cannot grow any further because the thorns choke them. And on good ground, yeah, we know. So, this is a simple parable. And Jesus says, who have ears to hear, let him hear. Who have ears to hear, let him hear and understand, that is to say. Nothing mentioned about the kingdom. And the people just listen and do they know anything? And that's why when the disciple was with Jesus, Jesus took the disciple aside. And that, you know, create the disciple to become very curious to, why did you preach in parable? Jesus said, it is not for them to know the kingdom, it is for you. So, parable spoken like this, it's about the kingdom and it is for us to understand. Why do we need to understand this thing? How important it is for us to know this thing. Let me tell you this, brother and sister, we are in this end time. We have this truth. But in denomination, they have no idea what this is all about. This seven parable from verse 10 onwards is talking about the church ages. The process of what happened throughout the 2,000 years. As the book of Hosea would say, after 2 days, God will visit the Jews again. So, the church has 2,000 years. Alright, so, look at what it says here. In verse 11. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries, and that's the mysteries, that are hidden, alright, of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So, there are altogether seven parables. Now, verse 24. Alright. Because, now let's go back to verse 13 first. Therefore speak I to them in parable, because their seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, have you ever, when you study Bible, when you look at what Jesus said here, because in verse 12, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly, but whosoever have not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And in verse 13, Jesus said, I speak to them in parable, because they hear, but they do not understand. And seeing, yet they see not. Now, what do you mean to see and not see? To understand and yet not understand. Okay? Yeah, I understand because the sower talk about the seed. I understand that. understand, but there's something else that is hidden that you don't understand. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Huh? Is you're looking at something, yeah, I see it, yeah, I know. But you really do not know. Now this is the truth about the message of each church age and to us in this last day. There are many that say, yeah, I see the message. God sent Brother Brown, God sent a prophet, this and that, right? But many of them don't really see. I want you to really think about it. They don't really see. They say, yeah, we see. We understand what Brother Branham was saying, but they don't really understand. That's what Brother Branham said to his church. You know, after preaching for them, I don't know how many years now, he says, now, do you understand what I've been trying to tell you? They say, amen, yes. Brother Branham said, no, you don't. That's true. Huh? So when Jesus told this to the disciple, and he quoted in verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which say, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. They heard Brother Branham, but do they understand? They heard what Jesus said, but did they understand? The people heard Paul, Peter. How many understood? You say. Because only to you, the disciples, now it's not followers, I'm not talking, the Bible, you know, there are many that follow Jesus, but few are disciples. And the question is, whether are we followers or are we disciples? You know what I mean by followers? Tag along. Tag along, you know. When anything is rough, fall back. There are people like that. We are all, if you know, a true believer in the body of Christ, stand for something. There are something in the body. In the building, there we are all something. So when the going gets rough, what do you do? Huh? Get away from it. Sit on the wayside, lament, or don't even bother to do anything. And that's what our Maya brother, nice. Up there when the going gets rough, he answers phone call, with people call and contact him and all that. Brother Andrew Peary, Brother Tony up there, those I know. You see, stand for the truth. Don't worry about getting hurt with the brickbat the people are throwing at you or whack you with. Don't get all those bouquet. Eh? Do you understand what I'm saying now? By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. I hear, yes, I understand, but they don't. So to speak. They say, I heard what you say. But didn't really hear. I see. I can see. I saw it. But did they really see? For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest by at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Huh? Oh my. I remember how in our little fellowship here over the years, many goes in, you know, came in and went out, came in and went out, you know, because they're confused about some doctrines here and there. Yeah. So now, verse 24. The parable, again, you understand, another parable put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. And one man slept. His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not you sow good seed in your field? From whence then have it tares? He said unto them, an enemy have done this. The servant said unto him, okay, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye up together, first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now here we have some of I'm not going through all these other parables. I'm taking the first to show you. Look at the chart. When the wheat was sown, now you look at all the W, the letter W. Okay, that's when, in the beginning, all those who were converted were seed. They were seed, they were wheat. But the Galatian spirit came in later. Now, when the church started, the Jew, you know, when the apostle preached, Paul came along, they rejected the gospel. So the Jew, signified by the letter J, fall off, fell off. So we have wheat, and in the first church age then, we see the tares being sown. So you have TW all the way right through. Now, if you look all the way throughout the seven church ages until we come to the seven church ages. In the seventh church age, that begins in around 1903-1906, we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in the 20th century outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The gift of God will pour out, and people went all over the world, start to preach the gospel. Right? So we have all kinds of denomination. Now, in 1948, now, according to the parable of what Jesus said, at the end of the harvest, so we are now at the end of the harvest, we are in the seventh church age, the tares were gathered together. What year was that when the tares began to be bundled together? 1948. Not long after the Jews returned to their homeland, the regathering of the Israel will begin, that began in 1970. And in 1948, Israel became a nation. And Israel became a nation in 48. That's when the World Council of the Churches were also established in that year. Think about it. The World Council of Churches, before that, was just a National Council of Churches in America. Or they call it some, I can't remember how, Council of Churches. And then became national, and then later on they went all over the world and established NCC, National Council of Churches. We have one in Singapore, you know that. Huh? But the World Council of Churches was established in Uppsala, Sweden, in 1948. And so the tares were gathered together. So, who are the tares? Now, people do not understand what tares are. Tares are useless, they are weeds. You can't eat tares, you don't eat tares. When they were sown, when the sower went for the sow wheat, the enemy came after man slept. The Bible says after the man slept. This is referring to the apostle, they all began to pass away. Then began the enemy start to sow tares. And then when they begin to grow up together, they look kind of look alike. That's why it's very hard to differentiate. Yeah? But when they grow higher and higher, then you can tell the difference. So Jesus says, leave them alone until the end of the harvest. And then first gather the tares. After you gather the tares to be burned, then you gather the wheat into the garden. Do you understand now? So when we look at the chart, the hour that we live in, that's when the seventh seal set in motion. What is the seventh seal? Revelation chapter 8 verse 1, what did he say? A mighty angel, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silent in heaven for half an hour. Is that right? Remember? Yeah. So, we see event all happen together in this end time. The harvest time. Israel went back to the homeland, became a nation in 48. In 48, the World Council of Churches established. And the churches all, you know, the tares were bind together. Now, when we talk about the tares, please do not say, hey, that man is a Baptist, he's a tare. No, no, he's not a tare, just like that. When we talk about, you know, this sort of thing, tares and wheat, we're not talking about the person, individual per se. Are you wheat? Are you wheat? You say, yeah, you're wheat. But mainly it's because of the spirit. Because the wheat must bear some fruit that is edible. It's 104, 64, whatever, you know, you are. A tares is useless. Yeah, that's a denominational, a tares. The wheat is a true church. The group or the family of God, they are scattered all over the world. As the denomination are scattered all over the world. So the tares are burned up to be burned. Now, I want you to look at the chart very carefully here. I'm going to show you something. Look at the line that comes down from the top. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. And he shall turn the heart of the children to the father. Malachi 4, 5. 5 to 6. You see that? Now, okay. That's when the church has begun. Alright. Or even to say that the age already started in 1909, 1903, 1906 at that time. But Abraham, then the prophet was sent with the message. Now, what was the message? Look at the chart carefully before, below the name of Brother Branham. You see the word shout. Shout. I kind of like that. You know what a shout is? A voice raised up. You're not just saying, oi! No, no, no. That's not just a shout. Come here! That's a shout. Come out! That's a shout also. Not just, oi! So, what is the shout? Now, since you already had the parable, saying that at the end of it is the harvest. But the seventh parable, okay, look at the seventh parable. Alright, we are not going through all those seven parables because I have it over in the book, The Marriage of the Lamb. Now, here we have in the 7th, verse 47, is the parable of the dragnet. Verse 47, again the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered up every kind. Which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down. And they gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and subvert the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Got it? Now, verse 50. When people read that, they say, oh, they were cast into hell. No, don't just go straight into hell. Every time we talk about casting them, you know, cast them away and they'll be all in the burning fire and things like that, they say, it's casting them into hell. No. They're talking about the end time. This is a big dragnet. You know what dragnet is? It's not just one that you're, what you call a cast net. You know, you all go fishing, you know, you all have tried casting it. That's not very big. One man cast it. But this cast net is very big that they cast out on from the boat and then they drag it. And there's so many kind of sea creatures. Now, look at what the parable says. What did they do? Those fishermen, of course, the minister said that they are the servants of God. They cast a net. Now, in the end time, this is the last churches. And that was when 20th century, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that's all the preacher went up there to preach. You know what, man? They cast the net and draw in the fishes, they draw in all kinds of creatures. What do you think you find in the net? Octopus? Squid? Starfish? What else? Crabs? Prawns? Hey, those are considered bad stuff. But to us, it's delicious. Right? Lobsters, whatever they catch, whatever. But what the parable is talking about, they are catching fish. Because a lobster, a crab, all those are considered unclean, bad for health. A lot of cholesterol. Right? So those were cast away. So they get the good now. So this is exactly what the harvest is in the first parable. Leave it unto the end of the harvest. And separate. So, we are living in the hour of separation. Seriously. You know, the first parable and the last parable talks about separation. Huh? Wheat was sown and tares came around. Wait until the harvest. Because for churches, there's a lot of tares too. No man let it go. And you come to the end time. Huh? Gather first. The tares. Right? That's what it is. And then bind them and cast them. But now here we have this great net. The good fish. Grouper. Sea bass. Mackerel. The crab. Lobster up one side. Throw it back to the sea. Remember that. Okay, separation. So what we look at? Shout. And if you look at the word shout on the chart, shout, and that's the word separation of the tare from the wheat. I want to see, because we're talking about the separation now. So, the shout came along, and then we have the calling of the bride. The tares being bundled was in 1948, the year I was born. And then in 1953 to 56, around that time, Abraham began to shout, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And that is what? The parable of the ten virgins. Matthew 25. Is that right? Gather the good out. That's what the cast net is, representing the same. Gather the good, and then gather the bad and throw it away. So in the parable of the ten virgins, the shout that went out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him." So that was Matthew 25, and so the virgin comes out. Isn't it? Yeah. Right. Because before Brother Branham came, yeah, there are a lot of the virgin were in there in the system, you know, they're waiting for the coming of the Lord. And then they were all filling up themselves with oil and things like that, because that's a Pentecostal church age. I mean, we'll say Pentecostal age. Outpouring. Do you see? Then, let us look a little closer to that. Now we have the wheat. Now look at the chart closely. We have the tare being bundled up and to be burned. And then we have the wheat. Okay. Now the wheat. What is wheat? We are wheat. Yes, people. Okay, we are wheat. We are also the bride. Uh-oh. So, but how do you look at it? Because we are wheat. Look at the picture there. We are wheat. Then from the wheat down there is the bridegroom. And then you are the foolish virgin. And the wise virgin makes up the bride. The foolish virgin do not make up the bride. Can you see that? Okay, now. Let's go on. I'll bring all this in so that you can recall. So now, that's why I said that the seventh seal being revealed to us in the last day. But it was just silence. But Revelation, the seven seals, the revelation of it actually is found in Revelation 10. Alright, so we call that the final event, because this is now what God is doing. So the mighty angel came up, put his right foot in the sea, and his left foot upon the land. Now then there is a voice that shouted, that's the prophet, Brother Branham here, the Lord of the church, behold, the bridegroom cometh. So as time moved on, and in 1963, the mighty angel comes down with the seal book open, and therefore the seals are now revealed to us through Brother Abraham in 1963. Alright? And of course, it became a little book in the hands of the mighty angel. Then we arrive in 1966. Now, after Brother Abraham died in 1965, remember the testimony that he gave? Or that preacher Buffett Dowell mentioned about it when Brother Abraham was 56 years old. Brother Abraham said, you do not understand, I must go. There will be another season. A season where the revelation of God is made known. And that is so true, but you know, I don't think, why did not Brother Abraham make it public? And what did he tell it to this brother? In fact, that he make a statement that he will actually live to around 56 years, and that's when he actually passed away, 56 years. And he even said there will be a ministry. Yes, people are, would, you know, about the ministry of the Bible. He said, yeah, there will be a ministry. It's so simple, it's so humble. It's a five-fold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and so on. You see, one of the things about this, I want to show the whole thing about what we are looking at in the last day. It's so beautifully presented to us. Remember Isaac and Rebekah? Abraham told Eliezer to go and get a bride for Isaac. So he went all the way to Padan Aram. Don't go to any other place to get a bride. Get it for my own people. He went there and there presented a story about Abraham, about Isaac, and Rebekah said, yes, I will be the beloved of Isaac. So they took the camel train home. Now, according to the end time message people, they're still riding on the camel. They're still riding on the camel. Are you still riding on the camel? The camel train. You see, the camel, you know what a camel train is? A group of camel, huh? Carrying all the, you know, the gold, the jewelry, all the things, whatever they need to carry on the journey home. Maybe there are four or five camels. Eliezer sat on the first one and Rebekah sat on the second one and on the way home. Now, when the camel train reached home of Isaac, what happened? Rebekah veiled herself, and very excitedly, the Bible says, Rechamoth, actually, the expression there said she was so excited to meet Isaac, she almost fell off the camel. Why? She's excited about Isaac. I don't know how many of you are excited about Isaac. I'm not talking about Isaac as in Isaac, I'm talking about Isaac as in Christ. Yeah, we are excited, surely. So, it sounded good. She got down, she went up to Isaac, and Isaac took her and went into the mother Sarah's tent. What does that mean? The Bible ends there. Now, this is Eastern expression. Some people read the Bible, what happened, huh? What happened? They went into, he told her, went into his mother Sarah's tent. What happened? Not the father's tent, but the mother's tent. The bond between the mother and the son And a mother is the one that nurture. The you know what a mother figure is? You know, there is, you know, God is like a mother to us. No, we call him Heavenly Father because that is the fatherly figure. We don't say Heavenly Mother. We don't have that. You get what I'm saying? But God is also the family inside because that's why it's about Jerusalem. They give the milk. Yeah? Do you see what I'm talking about? So they got married. But when Isaac took her into his mother's tent, Mother Sarah's tent, what happened to the camel train? What happened to Eliezer? There's no more mention of Eliezer. Not even his name appear later. What? Apparently you can understand that Eliezer took the camel and went into the camel stable. Correct? He finished his job. And now, they're in the kupa. So look at what is in, okay, look, from 1966, that's where the marriage took place. We will say because after Brother Bram passed away, the 5-4 ministry now began its ministry. Now, to many people, they don't understand this. Because through organized Christianity, the 5-4 ministry has always been around. True. It is true. It was there in the early church, but they never get to perfect the saints. Correct? If the saints of that time were paused, they would have gone in the rapture. So there must come to a time when the saints of God, the church of God, gets perfected. So now in 1966, look at it. Only after the friend of the bridegroom has left, can the bride and bridegroom enter into the marriage chamber. Isaac and Rebecca went into the marriage chamber, so this will be represented by Sarah's tent. Eliezer is gone. For Abraham, he's gone in 65. Right? Any other people that believe the brown man is going to resurrect and then come back again, so that's why they bought a big plane. Oh, I think he's already got away already. Huh? And they have all this big tent already purchased. Because the brown man thought about the tent vision that he had. So the people come into that imagination. What happened to these people now, this believer? You know, there's one thing about it. People have opinion. Abraham, again, you also have opinion. Yes, I have opinion. But when you talk about opinion, if you have any sense, if it comes to the word of the Lord, then look into it. Right? Yeah. And so, Bob, you know, Paul talks about, you know, man, when Paul talks about traditions of the believer, he said the woman must have a long hair, men, you know, short hair, and women must have long. Because he said there's no other tradition. We don't have any other tradition. We don't have any other custom. Because it is required by God for women to have long hair. You see. So you go into the marriage chamber. So in the marriage chamber, it's between Isaac and Rebekah. So that's where they're going to be perfected. And they come from. So now, Let us look at another picture here. The coming of Christ on the marriage of the Lamb. I mean, this is a simple chart here. The home of the bridegroom. Of course, you know where the bridegroom is. It's in hell. He came. He descended from heaven as in Revelation chapter 10. So there is the parousia. It begins. So the marriage procession. You know the marriage procession, right? He came. He came to claim his bride. So it is evening time. Remember, this, the Bible is oriental. And when we get married, we all get married in the daytime, right? It's because, we follow what the West are doing because of the influence of this wearing white gown and things like that. That's where they come from. But in reality, we Chinese Asian don't do that. Do you ever see the Malay, the Muslim wear white? In China, if you go to China today, in those in the village, do you think that they wear white? Some might because they're influenced by the West. Otherwise, what do they wear? You know, how all those traditional things. Red. And if you have seen the movie or the Fiddler on the Roof, and you like that, I love that movie. Tradition. What time did they get married? Evening time. You see? That's how the whole thing is all about. They don't get married in the daytime. They get married in the evening time. That's why the shout is, as you see in the picture here, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Then we enter into the marriage feast. And that those days, the marriage can be very, you know, be held for 7 days to perhaps 70 days if they are rich. They have marriage feast. People enjoy themselves. The bride and bridegroom, after the feast is over, the people leave, and then the bride and bridegroom will go to the chamber. You know? And then next day come again, the people feast again. And it will continue for several days. So when the marriage feast is going on, right now, remember, the Bible says in Matthew 25, I hope you all know, I don't have you to refer to it, to open, if you want to open, you open the verse to your chapter. But if you know it, you should know it by heart. The five wise virgins had oil, the five foolish did not carry enough oil. You know, every lamp that you buy for in those days you use oil lamp, right? You all know the oil lamp. You buy the oil lamp to have light. So you put oil in there. That is the initial what? Filling of the lamp. You don't tell me that oil will last you forever. Or for many, many days. No. So you have to go and meet the bridegroom. That's in the night time. Evening time. In those days, in the village. What do you get light? Here in Singapore, you know, those days when two Filipino brothers came to Singapore, you know, I took them around, went to the zoo, and then it's dark, you know, after evening time, you see, they have the night safari thing, right? You remember? And then after that, we came home. So we took a taxi and brought them home to the hotel. So as the taxi passed through, came out from, you know, Bandai and then Main Road, and came to pass through here. They'll say, "Bergen, why is this place so bright? Is this a city?" No, I said, "This is an estate." He said, "Wow, where do you get all the money for electricity?" You know. So, in the Philippines, in the province, you don't get that. Do you understand? So, in those days, you're in the village, there is no such thing as like street lamp or whatever. No. You have little houses scattered here and there, and probably the people are sleeping, or maybe they're still in the home in the little candlelight. I mean, not candlelight, oil lamp light. That's what they have. So the foolish did not have that. So the foolish ran out of oil and they went hunting for it. Now that's all we have, a lot of foolish people, foolish believer of the end time message, still looking for the truth. But the wise have gone into the marriage, right? And the door is still open. The door is not closed yet. Even right now, the door is not closed yet. The bride with the bridegroom, feasting together, go to the chamber, comes out, feast again, go into the chamber. So the marriage is going on right now. But in the chamber, so you know when the bride and bridegroom comes out, eat with the people, feast with the people, is one thing. But when they go to the chamber, when they make love, that's when they whisper. That's the where there is when the voice of the bridegroom uttered. I, you know, here we have a quote verse from scripture of Solomon. The beloved said to her beloved, "I, my beloved, and his desire is towards me. Christ's desire is towards us. Is it not? Christ's desire is towards us, and we must be also respond to him. So we are in this state now. Okay, well, we are in this state. Let's look at another thing I want to show you. We are talking about separation now. The fivefold ministry is now doing a job of separation. Brother Branham ministry, when he came, he called the virgins. Alright, the tares have been bound. And that's why there are some churches, they are not denominational. They are all independent by themselves. They know they need to separate. Huh? But that's all that they have. But the virgin came out. So now, I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 first, and verse 8. Just take this verse, and just to know, the whole thing is going to end up with the destruction of the wicked one. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Got it? That's what Christ is going to do. Now, how do you separate darkness from light? I mean, how do you drive away darkness? It's when light comes in. When you switch off the light, the darkness will come back. So the purpose of what God is doing right now is to bring light to the virgins that they fully understand. And as Christ said to the disciples, unto you is made known the mystery of the kingdom of God. And when this is made known to us, then light is given to us. So we can see what truth is. Okay, now, Luke chapter 3, verse 17. Here we have the verse that says, whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor, and shall gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. The word here says, he shall thoroughly purge his floor. What is to purge? Do you know when we talk about King David, how they, when he took a census of his army, how strong his kingdom was, and the Lord dealt with him, and then finally the angel came to the way he wanted to destroy, and he went to Jerusalem, and he was standing right there in the threshing floor of Onan. What is a threshing floor? Let's go to look at Jeremiah, chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 28. The prophet that have a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that have my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? What is chaff to the wheat? Okay, let's just go to another verse. Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. What I want to show you in the verse is the expression. Like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. Oh, I like that. Hosea 13. Hosea chapter 13. And verse 3. Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passed away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Hey, nice description. The whirlwind come and take it away, the wind blows away like the smoke going out of the chimney. And they are gone. Matthew 3. Yeah, so good for you to see you all turning the Bible. Don't just hear me read it out. Turn your Bible, you're holding your sword, you learn to draw it. Okay, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12. Okay, let's read from verse 11. I indeed baptize with water unto repent, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he shall thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. What is wheat and what is chaff? Look at this picture of the wheat and the chaff. Okay, you know how the chaff looks like? How the wheat looks like? Chaff are those that cover the grain. Okay, now, we look at this chaff and the grain here. We know what that is. But how do you separate the chaff from the grain? So now the Bible tells us that the tares have been bind together. And the wheat are gathered into the garner. So before the wheat is gathered into the garner, they are gathered to a threshing floor. So how does the wheat look like? Okay, just the wheat stalk. You know how the wheat stalk look like? For those, a lot of us, we all eat noodles, right? We eat noodle, wheat. You know the yellow noodle, we eat wheat all the time, and then sometimes we don't even know how wheat look like. So this is a wheat stalk that is gathered in. Harvest, and they get in. Alright? They didn't gather in straight to the gun. The gun is just very wild wheat stalk. But you don't store the whole wheat stalk. But they are gathered to the threshing floor. Okay, threshing floor. So, we look at this threshing floor here, the man that is threshing the floor. Now, the threshing floor is a floor, and there is a stone, round stone. Okay, that's raised up usually. So, and you will take the whole stalk of wheat and keep on threshing it. Until the grain and it falls off. So now, this beating will separate the chaff from the grain. And now, what's the next thing that they do? There will be the winnowing, the fan in his hand. So this is a fan. Well, of course, they probably look like a spade. It depends how big you want to make your own, you know. So, dig it up, take the whole pile, throw into the air, and the wind, being the chaff being light, is blown away by the wind. And the grain will fall back to the ground. So they keep doing this. Well, you know, sometimes the simple way of some people do is that they put into a tray, you know, a bamboo tray that they put, and then they do this, right? Blow it. The chaff away. Those were the days when we did that. So that is called winnowing or the fanning. So in the end, what do you look? What the chaff look like? Look at the whole bundle of chaff here. Nobody eats chaff because it is not digestible by human. Sometimes they use this to add some food to give it to the horse and the cow. That's about it. Nice chaff. Far away, if you don't look closer, it looks like grain. Look like grain. Look like wheat. But look at wheat. What does wheat look like? A whole bunch of wheat. Nice wheat. Get it together. So you see, the chaff is never air together with the wheat. Now when we talk about wheat, we look at a bunch of wheat. We call that wheat. But you see, there is this chaff that covers it. You have to break that away and remove that. So now in the end time message, my brothers and sisters, what we are seeing today, we have chaff together with wheat. Many will call themselves wheat. And if they call themselves wheat, are they wise or are they foolish? Apparently we are looking at what is coming? What is coming? Now is happening in time. Now the fan is in the hand of Christ. He will thoroughly purge the floor. Keep on winning it. Fan it. Him don't want the chaff. The church must be blown the whirlwind. What did Paul say in Ephesians 4 about the fivefold ministry? They come to perfect the same, right? Huh? Henceforth that you will not pass to and fro with what? Every wind of doctrine. Yep. Oh, Brother Bram is coming back again. Vroom, vroom. And the child is blown off. Huh? Oh, you will have, oh, we have two souls. We have two souls. Only believe, vroom, vroom, vroom. And you are blown away. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Also, what Brother Abraham said, if you don't say exactly what Brother Abraham said, you are not going to make the bride. Voo, voo, voo. They are the ones not going to make the bride. Because why? The fivefold ministry, the word of what God is doing right now, prepared for what is coming, prepared how He's going to deal with every one of us. It's separation time. Think about it. It's hard. Eat the book. Remember, eat the little book. Everything fall in the place of this final event. It's all about separation. Separation. And in the end, what do you have? You know, you look at the bundle of this wheat and you start thrashing it. You don't want the stalk. You throw away the stalk. You don't want the chaff. You blow away the chaff. The whole pile of what is down there, blown away. What do you see? You only see the grain, a small part. Yeah. It looks a whole lot out there. The chaff is useless. That's the reason why this, the fivefold ministry, the perfection of sin, is also to separate the chaff from the wheat. And what is being done? What is it done? Why is it being done? Huh? Why is it so important for this wind that must be blown? You know, as I said earlier on, my days we have this little tree and then we do this winnowing by blowing it. Huh? Yeah, we always blow it. Because there's no wind, we blow it. But what the Bible tells us, the fan that is in his hand, just scoop it, throw it into the air. Huh? Yeah, we have to be tossed around one for a little while to see, to test. Up you go! The wind that comes, Jesus God did not create, He didn't blow it. You understand? The wind, as the Bible says, all kinds of wind will be blowing. And in this world, we have the four winds that's out there that is blowing. Religious winds are blowing. And in the end time message, there are all kinds of strange doctrinal winds. They are all being stirred. Separation time. And I pray, by looking at this, you should understand. We will close with this and come back next week. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your blessing, O Father, as to the word that we have received, the what you have given us to understand, Father, in the hour that we live in. Yes, Lord. We're living in the final hour of time, and there's a few grains of sand left in the hourglass of God's in the prophetic hourglass of our Lord. We don't know how much longer, Father. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you open our eyes to see. For as you promised, as you said to the disciples, unto you it is make known the mystery of the kingdom. Unto those that are out there, it is not. And so, Father, when you make known the mystery of the kingdom to us, we know, Father, you are preparing us. Because what is coming ahead of us, Lord, each step of the way, you are still seeding, O Lord, teaching us, breaking us, O Father, that we come to the place, O Lord, that we be matured and be disciplined to the voice of God. So, Father, we thank you. We ask that you bless today, Lord, and bless that word that we have given to us, Father, in this last day now. Commit the rest of the day to you also, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.